It's that time. Thank you for coming and being a part of our study today as we study Black History Month, Part 3. Excuse me. With a word of prayer. Gracious Father, thank you for your mercy and grace. Help us as we read your word. Give an interpretation to your people, help them to understand and get clarity. That would not be my words, but your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we have been talking about getting more of the word in us. And so, and having us understand verses of the Bible. So, I was given the challenge to be able to share that with everybody, to be able to help them to be able to understand scripture. So, what we will be doing this year, we will be studying scripture. We'll be going through the Bible. And right now we're studying it through the Bible through subject. And this subject, since it's Black History Month, and we only have 28 days to share, 4 weeks, 4 sessions, or if I want to make it more, I can. Of studying Black History Month. That's what we have been given, the shortest month of the year, to study the most interesting thing on the planet, the most ancient history and lifestyle. But may it be, let it be what it may. Now, I mentioned we've studied and we've been studying about behavioral theory, behavioral science, and we've been able to understand that sci-fi level. And we all start off on the survival level. And our goal is to get to self-actualization so that we might be able to understand and move in that spiritual world where we belong, that we might see the importance of. And so the fourth level we learned about is self-esteem. And we realize that most people whose book the Bible is of African-American culture have no self-esteem, have been denied that. So now we're going to the scriptures to define our history, to define our existence, to define ourselves rather than be defined by our slave master who still runs the planet and is enslaving as many as they can. So what we needed to do is get as much, we have a choice. The only choice we have is what curriculum we will read. What material will we allow to come into our brain to be able to synthesize us, to transform us by the renewing of our minds? And we're going to sing a song that helps to get that. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And then this was an old one I read in spring, sang a few weeks ago. And this week we're going to have a new one today. I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of Yahweh, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Yah, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12, 1 and 2. So we have here, the Bible says he wants to transform our mind. So the only way he can transform our mind is if we put things in our mind that will transform. And guess what that is? That's the word of Yahweh. The word of Yahweh, as we engulf it, as it consumes us, then we will have that. So we try to figure out curriculum, which we've been telling you about, to read. That's what we're reading through this curriculum. People of Color in the Bible, Preliminaries Establishing a Foundation. You can go up and order the book. Once we get 100 people to order the books, we're going to reprint them. Okay? And the books are $20 each. And you can find them on the website www.peopleofcolorthenumeric1.com. So the first 100, we'll get it for 20, and everyone else, the price will be $25. So you get a $5 discount, those who decide to go up and get their books so they can follow along. Again, That website is www.peopleofcolor1.com, and you can contact us through contact. Tell us what you want, that you want the book, and name, address, phone number, and all the information and data that we need. Okay. Excuse me. So, the next thing that we're going to look seeing is Proverbs. Starting at verse number 5.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear Yahweh and depart from evil. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Honor Yahweh with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. My son, despise not the chastening of Yahweh, neither be weary of his correction. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path.
Amen. So we started at verse number 5, and we ended on verse number 20. Okay, so there we go. That's something you can practice, and hopefully that'll help you memorize the scriptures. That's what it does for those who attain. Then you get more of the word in you, and as we read in Romans, then you become transformed by the renewing of your mind. Okay, now we are on page number 20 in the book, the fifth edition, and this section is called The First Civilization. Is the word Africa found in the Bible anywhere? It is believed by some that the word Africa was given to the continent by a man called Leo Africanus in the 1500s. Hint to the question I asked, is the word Africa found in the Bible anywhere? Okay, hopefully all of you guys got the question right. But, hint, the last book in the Old Testament was written around 400 BC. Therefore, the answer to the question is no. The word Africa is not found anywhere in the Bible. Why is that? If you're telling us that these are African people, if you're telling us that the Bible talks about Africa and the first people, Adam and Eve, were Cushites or Ethiopians or really Nubian terms, they dwelt in what we call the Great Lake region of Africa. Okay, so how can that be? How can Africa be referred to so many times when we read about the rivers leaving the Garden of Eden? One is called Havilah, which is the sons of Ethiopia, which means burnt-faced people. And then we have another one that's referred to or called the Gihon, which is the Nile River, which flows through Egypt, and it's the longest river in the world. How can all of these things that the Bible infers, the Bible talks about, the geographical location of the first people, the first existence of civilization on the planet, and the word Africa never be used? How can that be? How can the continent of Africa be that important? And then again, the word Africa never appear? Very interesting thought and question. I'm glad you asked it. Africa's landmass are mentioned and talked about throughout the entire Bible, beginning with Genesis chapter 2. Some ancient names for Africa are Akiva, Kush, sometimes spelled with a K, K-U-S-H, and sometimes spelled with a C, C-U-S-H. The land of Ham. So yes, the Bible talks about Africa all the time, but it never uses the name Africa. Well, why is that? Well, think about it. If this dude, this Arabian, Arab, whatever you want to call him, named the continent after him in 1500 BC, which is right around, what, 500 years ago? And the Bible expands back all the way to the time of 4000 BC with Adam and Eve. And even at the time of Moses, around another 500, 1500 BC. Okay? And the last book that was written in the Bible was written at 400 BC. Yeah, the word Africa is a made-up word by the colonists, again, Arab colonists this time instead of European colonists, so that you would never know that the Bible was ever talking about Africa or you. Did you know that the Bible, the center heart of the Bible is in Africa? Most of the events in the Bible occurs in Africa. It does not occur in what we call Europe, America, or any of those places. It doesn't go on in China or Japan. It goes on in Africa. But if I can have a book that's centered on Africa and Africans, if I can make it appear that this landmass that the Bible is talking about is about Europe and about Europeans, then you will miss the whole picture. And that is what has been done. Now, if you have a book, turn to the next page. And as you turn to that page, you're going to see a map. Now, this map is not in most books. So some people said, after page 21, some people told me, yeah, Emmanuel, we buy your book. Why do you have a book? Oh, yeah, man, we know about Africa and the Bible. We know about all that stuff, man. We teach in our classes. But your book has all the pictures. It has the geographical locations. It breaks it down. Which we get your books mainly for your charts and for your maps. Because there's nowhere else that we can find these maps and charts to help people realize what's going on. So I said, well, praise Yahweh. That's good. I'm glad that people are getting the book for whatever reason they see fit. Okay. Look at the first map. It's called the Land of Ham. And the Land of Ham is a term for old Africa, ancient Africa. It includes what we call today the Middle East, because the Middle East and Africa were not separate. At one time, all the way up to World War II, the Middle East was always called Northeast Africa. But for religious reasons only, they had to change it so that they can give it to the European Jews. So they could not, you know, they could place them somewhere on the planet, because in Europe they were being persecuted, in Russia they were being persecuted. So they said, okay, give them their own homeland. So they went into Africa, cut off a part of Africa, called it the Middle East, and boom, there you go. So we forgot about this aspect of the geography. So let's take a break for a moment for our sponsors, and we will come right back.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
I wanna be phenomenal for you, Lord.
Thank you for coming back, Kingdom Dweller. Okay. So, let's continue reading and get a better understanding of the geography of the Bible and the people of the Bible, who are very important, even though the Europeans would have you believe such a lie that it isn't, and the Gentiles would have you believe such a lie that it isn't. But it is. Simple as that. Okay, the first civilization with recorded history started around the first river, somewhere at the beginning of the Nile. Okay, what makes up the Nile? Okay, the Blue Nile, which flows in the mountains of Ethiopia and comes together with the White Nile, and the Blue Nile, if you're looking at the map, you could maybe understand it, but if you don't have one, you're up the creek. Anyway, that's your choice. The Blue Nile starts up in the mountains of Ethiopia, right off the Red Sea, right off that coast there, a little further in. You go further south, and you run into what is called the White Nile. So the White Nile and the Blue Nile come together. The Blue Nile comes from the east, and the White Nile comes from the southwest. The White Nile, so the Blue Nile and the White Nile make up what we call the Nile. Now, the Blue Nile starts in the mountains of Ethiopia. So the mountains mount the melt, and then that's when you get the heavy rain that caused the Blue Nile. Then from the White Nile has its contributaries, is what we call the Mountain Nile, the Victoria Nile, which comes from Lake Victoria, the Albert Nile, which comes from Lake Albert. Okay, and so we see that all of these rivers make it up, and then we have something called the and these are the ones that create what we call the White Nile. Okay, and from Lake Victoria, which sits in the center of the what we call the African Great Lake regions. Now, I never heard until I started this study that there was an African Great Lakes. The only Great Lakes I ever heard of was the ones up in Europe. I mean, not in Europe, in America, in Michigan, bordering Canada, and all of that. Okay, so I did not know anything about the Great Lakes of Africa. But now you know about the Great Lakes. So get the map and you'll see more other lakes that are surrounding that area, that are contributaries to each other. Okay, like I said, we're on page 21 if you have the book. Okay, now that we tell you to go to map 1.2, which shows you the greater detail of this. 1.1 shows it to you, but 1.2 amplifies that area. Okay, now what is in the land of Ham? In the land of Ham, if you look at the map, the land of Ham, you will see in the northern sector, the northwest sector, which borders up toward going off toward Europe, is what we call Put, or Libya, what we call today Libya, but that was called Put. Then we have another land where the Nile Delta fits in, and that's called Misrin, and that's what we call today Egypt. Now, all of these are the sons of Ham. That's why it's called the land of Ham, because Put was a son, Misrin was a son, Canaan was a son, and so that's what we call the Middle East, or what we call the Promised Land area, according to the Bible. Then we have another region, which is called everything south of Egypt, is what we call, or what the Europeans have labeled, Kush. Ethiopia, burnt face people. So, obviously the heart of Africa, Europeans can come in and conquer the top part of the Nile River, of what we call Lower Egypt, which is the borders of the Mediterranean Sea. And we have, no one couldn't, they wouldn't conquer, or couldn't conquer Upper Egypt, which is the southern region of Egypt. But that was protected by the Kushites. And what would happen is that you would have these Arabs and these Europeans coming in and taking over the northern part of Egypt, around the Delta region, and not being able to conquer beyond that into deep of Africa. And that had been going on for a long time, because people said that white people would go down into the heart of Africa and disappear and never come back again. They didn't know what happened to them. So they were scared. That's why they called it the Dark Continent. Because it was surrounded with mystery and spirituality and things that the European has no concept of. And so they were scared, so that's what they called it. And the land of Ham, according to our map 1.1, it has Havilah on it, so you know where Havilah is. Havilah is south of what we call today Egypt, a little bit in between off the Red Sea, on the southern sector of the Red Sea. Then we have what we call over there on the other side of the Red Sea, we have Sebath and Rama, who are descendants of Cush. And the Ethiopian Empire basically ran all of that region of what we call the land of Canaan, or what we call today the Middle East. And as time went on today, Europeans and Arabs, they're the ones that run it. So, when we're talking about the Bible, we're talking about the ancient world, the Bible using different terms, letting you know this is all Africa. But almost, if not entirely, all the Old Testament occurred in what we call Africa. Not Europe, not other places. Okay. So, the Bible is a book that talks specifically about Africa, Africans, Afrikaners, but they don't use their names. They use it, the land of Ham. So if you know who the descendants of Ham is, then you know what lands he dwelt. And this is the land of Africa, where the greatest deposits of gold and diamond are on the planet. And that's why the Congo is still fighting over it. That's why in South Africa, the Europeans, the British refused to let the gold mines go. I mean, you know, it's really ridiculous. After all the resources to build rubber for tires, they say that the countries that they get them from, they don't even have tires. But we get the rubber from them, and then we manufacture outside. So it's a natural resource, and it has been, what do we call, abused and misused. So they would take the natural resources and then bring those nations into poverty. And so I think through Obama's administration, I was told that he is overturning that. He is allowing European countries to no longer run to steal people's riches and not put in manufacturing. And so he is doing that in South America, might be in Africa, might be different parts of the world. So he is preparing a people to be economically free from the European stranglehold of the economy, such that in Brazil and other places, they can now manufacture their own way. And then we get mad with him because he's not going to promote European dominance and colonization continuation under his administration. So I praise the brother for he knows what he's doing in that area. I don't know all areas, but hey, we got to give him credit. The credit is due. So as we see, study this map and we'll come back so that we can understand a little more. At this time, we're going to take a break and hear from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
dwellers. Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida. They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for an appointment.
For coming back and being part of our study as we are embarking on a new course of reality. We were told that everyone needs to understand the Bible, and so that's what we are doing, giving you the geographical, giving you all the details that people have left out. Okay, page 21 of our book, People of Color, the Bible, Establishing a Foundation. These, and you can order these books through www.peopleofcolor1.com. Again, that's www.peopleofcolor1.com, no space. Okay, on this page, next to the map of 1.1, which is the land of Ham, it says, these rivers lead us to the African Great Lake region, found on map 1.2. That's the first civilization. Get that? The first civilization emanates from the African Great Lake region. Okay? So that you have an understanding. Can I just explain to you all the rivers that create these rivers? It could be any of those. that we mentioned. Blue Nile, White Nile, Mount Nile, Victoria Nile, Albert Nile. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them. Okay? So, that's the first civilization. Now remember, when people are civilized, people live around water because water is of the essence. Water and sunlight so that you can plant food and grow. So you had to have the best cropland and the best weather. Now I'm told, but I do not know personally, one day I hope to go to the motherland and go into the African Great Lake regions. But it is told that they have the perfect temperature, the perfect height and altitude, everything perfect, and everything grows like the Garden of Eden. And I said, wow, and we're just finding this out, and we claim to be Bible believers. Really, we are joking. Okay, so the second civilization started around the Nile River, referred to as the Nile Valley Civilization. So there we have it. The first civilization is the Nubia, or the Nubian, which started down in the African Great Lake region. Remember, everything south of Egypt was called Kush, or Egypt, or Ethiopia, Nubia, burnt-faced people. Okay, so yes, that falls in that classification. Okay, and the second river we found out surrounds the Nile River, and the what civilization dwelt up amongst that is what we call the Nile Valley Civilization. So we have from the first river, the first civilization around the African Great Lake region, we have what we call the Kushite, the Kush. You want to call it Kush, but it was Nubian, and then it's Kush, then it's Ethiopia, whatever. Okay, this, so when you, so the founders, as you go up the stream, okay, you follow water. So as you go north and go up the stream of the river from the African Great Lake region, you go up into the Nile. And then as you live there, you develop a civilization, and they called it the Nile Valley Civilization, which was an extension or under the Ethiopian or Kushite Nubian Empire. Did you get that? So the Kushites were the first ones to form it, and from them they went further north, and then it became what we call the Egyptian or Nile Valley Civilization, which dwelt, which ran all the way up into the delta of Africa, and that's what they call Lower Egypt or the northern sector of Egypt. And so it makes sense. I mean, it just makes common sense that, yes, the Kushites, and they're the ones who are always establishing full rule in Egypt when Egypt has its golden ages. And when it has its falling ages is when the Europeans and the Arabs come in and colonize it. And then the Africans, the Nubians, the original people, kick them out and reestablish Egypt. Okay, so check it out, man. It's just, it's beautiful how history and how geography and all of this makes sense. So as they left, as Adam and Eve and his descendants left out of the Garden of Eden and went north and went up the Nile Valley, they created the Nile Valley Civilization. Simple as that. And so as you study the Nile Valley Civilization, you will see that is the beginning of Western civilization, that is the beginning of all civilization. And yes, monarchy, monotheism, that they had the one God system before any Christian was born, because Christianity didn't come until in the ADs. We're talking about in the BCs. Okay? So, yes. So notice they, that Christianity has its origins in ancient Africa. In Egypt. Did you know in Egypt they have what they call the everlasting fire? Did you know that they have what they call the resurrection? Did you know that you weighed in the balances, just like in the book of Daniel, weighed in the balances and found wanting? Your heart is measured against the precepts of Mer, of Mat. Nine precepts. So think about all of these things. 42 pieces, sorry. And all of them all emanate and around what we call. But remember, the Bible says that Moses, who gave and brought forth the law, was learned in all the wisdom. That's what it says in the book of Acts. Read it for yourself. Understand what Yahweh is sharing with us. Okay, and remember, this is all African. This is an African book. And the Bible is telling us that in its first few pages, and we miss it because they brush over it like ain't nothing to that. So let's move on. Now, the four rivers are explaining lots of heavy things. Okay, the second river started around the Nile Valley. The Nile River, referred to as the Nile Valley Civilization. These two rivers, first and second one, are found in the midland of eastern Africa today. These include the areas of Ethiopia, Egypt, Sudan, Sudan, Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda. See map 1.6? Okay, let's see what map 1.6 says. All right. And map 1.6, oh man. Okay, that's 1.6, yes. It's showing you everything. Yes, it shows you where the first two rivers that left the Garden of Eden and the other four. Amen. There, right now. Come on. All right. So you need to check it out. What page is that? That's on page 29 in the book. Okay. Let's get on back up to page 21. Yes, this is interesting. Very enjoyable. John Jackson reports, well, the Nile scholar, Ethiopia, Egypt, recorded history begins around 3500 BC. It would make sense to say that it took around 500 years from the fall of Adam, around 400 BC, to the first two civilizations at 3500 BC, for man to start recorded history, since the Bible teaches us that some people live around 900 years. Yes, so this is amazing. I mean, this is like fantastic. As they say, this is the way to go when you're studying scripture. Now, I mean, some people might say, oh, brother, you're getting too deep in it. I say, hey, that's what you're supposed to. You're supposed to get deep into the Bible. You're supposed to get deep into the Word. You're supposed to be getting deep. Not play joke. Don't. Okay? Now, let's make sure that's what we know. Okay, so these are time frames, so the most important thing for you to know who the people are and who's living where is you have to find out the geography that it's talking about. And we just found out it's all talking about Africa, the land of Ham. And not just the geography, but also the time frame. Are we talking about in 2000 BC? Are we talking about 3000 BC? Are we talking about 3500 BC? Are we talking about 4000 BC? Are we talking about modern day 2000 AD? Very important that we understand what time frame. Okay, it would make sense that they had 500 years to get things straight and to start recorded history. Don't forget, as we said, the people lived what, 900 years, so they were able to live and write down as they moved on time in history. Interesting. Now remember, notice this: they did not start off as slaves. They did not start off as what we call them, people living in caves. They were not cavemen. And we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the difference between creation and evolution. Evolution is that we've been getting smarter and smarter, and we have the most advanced civilization ever today, with planes and helicopters and missiles and visiting space and satellites and all of these different things. That's what we claim, that we're the most advanced civilization living on Earth. So that means man has been came down as an animal and moved from the water, moved to animals and apes, and then developed and became the white man and lived in caves and all the rest of that. That's what they teach. A lot of people believe that. Even Christians believe some of that stuff. If you believe that we are the most advanced civilization today, you believe in evolution. You do not believe in creation. Creation teaches the exact opposite. Creation teaches that man, who was in Africa, was the most superior being. They were created in the image of Yahweh, and they have fallen from that condition, and man has become weaker and weaker and worse and worse. and wickeder and wickeder. So, and then we were the most advanced civilization, not the people today. Like the Europeans are people around the planet, they are the most wicked. They are not the most civilized. They are not the most intelligent today. But in the past, back in the 4000 BC, 3500 BC, where everybody gets all their history and their legacy, where they built pyramids, which we can't build today, where they had libraries, where they had literature, where they had mathematics, geometry, theorems, and so forth. That's where Pythagoras got his term. That's where Plato went and learned his stuff. Okay? So, let us make sure we don't mix up creationism with evolution. Most people are creation evolutionists because they believe there's a word that in that Yahweh created the heavens and earth, but then in reaction you believe that you're the most advanced civilization, where the Bible says we're not. So you tell me, which do you believe? We're the most advanced civilization, then you're an evolutionist. Or do you believe that we have been falling, and the people in the past have been superior to we are today, and so we're going downhill? Amen. So at this point, we will break again, hear from our sponsors for the last time today.
Did you know that the supernatural is real? Yep, that's exactly what Jesus taught and operated in. Kingdom principles for kingdom living. So to walk in your kingdom authority, enroll at Living Water Training Institute for the January 2015 session. Living Water Training Institute offers ministerial training for the kingdom, and you will learn what spiritual warfare is and how to navigate in the spirit realm legally and efficiently. And guess what? You do not have to be present to attend. So for more information, give us a call at area code 904-638-6906 or email us at livingwatertraining@gmail.com. Oh yeah, and check out the website at www.livingwaterhealingministries.org. So I challenge you to sharpen your arsenal and operate from your kingdom mantle.
One Day Denture Repair is a denture repair service that is centrally located in Jacksonville, Florida.
They repair your partial or denture while you wait. If you crack or break your denture, please call One Day Denture Repair at 904-210-6208 for appointment.
thank you for coming back to be a part of our study. I'm sorry, last week I got back. I was somewhere and I came back and it was 2 minutes that was blank on the recording. And I hope that was after 36 minutes. And I hope you didn't turn it off. But if you did, go back and listen to it, because there was a second half. And we hope that you'll be able to hear the whole thing. I would like to apologize for that. Okay, now that we have the first two rivers all built around the Cushites, the Nubians, the Ethiopians, and now we move into another phase in, as they went up the coast, went up the Nile River. They built the Nile Valley civilization, which became the Egyptian Empire, and Egyptians started running that empire as we know it today. Okay, then that was the second civilization. Like you said, there's four rivers, so there's four civilizations. So the third civilization, three or four civilizations, the third civilization, Sumer and Shinar, started approximately around 2800 BC in the proximity of the last two rivers, the Tigris and Euphrates. Okay, so when we talk about the third civilization, we know that Egyptian and Nubian culture and civilization was prior to any other one that we know of in that region, in that world, region of the world. And so we find out that as they expanded around 3500 BC, 700 years later, that they now move into what we call the region of the land of Nimrod. Okay, and so in the land of Nimrod is what we call today the Middle East. Okay. Remember, the Tigris and Euphrates was in that region. That's what we call the Tigris and Euphrates. Now, we're using the modern terminologies for these rivers and so forth, so we can understand that today. Okay. So what we find here is, this is a quote, the Sumerians between 3000 BC and 1750 BC were the non-Semitic founders and guardians of West Asia's oldest known history. Okay, the Sumerians. Troubles, problems numerous and complex seem to inevitably arise within the ranks of Western or white scholars and academics when confronted with the origin and ethnicity of civilizations such as Sumer, S-U-M-E-R, and Shinar, S-H-I-N-A-R, that are admittedly neither Semitic, coming from the Arabs, nor Indo-European, coming from the white boys. The Sumerians did, after all, call themselves the black-headed people. So here, in the quote, here we have a quote that places the Middle East civilization between the Tigris and the Euphrates River, where Ur of the Chaldees was, where Abraham, notice the key word at the last of his name, Ham, H-A-M-E, as H-A-M, similar to Adam. A-D-H-A-M, which we found out earlier in our study. Okay, so between 3000 and 1750, these black-headed people, well, obviously they're Nubians, I mean, that's what we were saying. So as their culture expanded, as the Nubians expanded into up the Nile River and created the Nile Valley civilization, as they kept on expanding and went over the Red Sea into the region of what we call today the Middle East and the land of Nimrod. As they expanded, they controlled all of that area. So if you look on our map, you will see clearly that the Ethiopian Empire runs that whole area. And of course, because who was Nimrod? Nimrod is the son of Cush, which is Ethiopia. So of course, you expected his son. So that's why the sons of Ham ruled all of North Africa, all of Africa, all of ancient Africa, all of the Middle East they ruled. And they ran that part of the world. So the Bible, when he's talking to you about the four rivers, he's telling you about the four civilizations of African people. You didn't know that, did you? No European gonna tell you that. They could write that in their books. Then that could be no Sunday school lesson, and it could be no Sabbath school lesson. You can be for sure you will be brainwashed. But this is the truth. The truth will set you free, my dear, my son and my brother. Okay, so civilization started in where? Approximately near the Garden of Eden. Because they were kicked out of the Garden of Eden, so they didn't develop civilization. Were kicked out, so near the Garden of Eden, which is located in classical Africa. You can call it Old Africa, or you can call it Ancient Africa, which is referred to as Africa and the Middle East today. Today we call it Africa, and we separate Africa from the Middle East. But that's a trick of the devil and his imps. Okay. And it says for you to look at Matthew 1.2. Now we're going to move into another section of the book. This section is called The Four Rivers. Now I hope you got an appreciation and that you learned something about the geography of the Bible, of when it's explaining it and how it breaks it on down. Oh yeah. Genesis chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Notice what it says. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And from thence it was parted and became into four heads. The name of the first is Pison. And that, is it which compassed the whole land of Havilah. Remember we talked about this guy Havilah before? Mm-hmm. The son of who? Son of Cush. And Cush means what? When the white man saw the Cushites, everything they called them Ethiopian, burned face people. All the Africans. Okay, let's move on. Where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Whoa, let's freeze there for a minute. Where do you find most of the gold on the planet? In Africa. So the Bible is telling you in many ways where the first river is. It tells you by the name of a burnt face person. Havilah, Cush, son. Then he comes back and tells you, okay, where is the gold that you find on the planet? Well, the gold is found in the middle of Africa. Okay, then that's where it is. And he tells you that too. Such that today people are still killing and looting over there. And still people are in South Africa trying to rob still of all of this gold mine. Now remember, the whole planet, the entire planet, technology uses gold. Did you know that? That's what they build a lot of these electronic things. They put gold in it that you can have circuit boards. Did you know that? That's the best conductor on the planet. You didn't know that the gold had scientific value. And so the Bible is telling you that right here. Where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. There is bdellium and the onyx stone. Now this is interesting. Right next to map 1.3, and it's called Havilah. Let me show you where Havilah is on the map. And it's right around the Blue Nile as it curves up from the mountain of Ethiopia and joins with the White Nile. And right when the Nile becomes, those two major contributaries become one, that's where we put Havilah, hey, as we call it. African produces 71% of all the world's gold, according in 1969. Did you get that? 71% of the world agrees. So tell me, how many gold is left? 29%. If Africa produces 71%, and the world only produces the other 29%, then even if the world doesn't even produce half of what Africa produces, not even 50%, because 50% of 71 gives you 35.5. And you're only producing 29, the rest of the entire planet. So tell me, is the Bible talking when it talks about this first river? Is it referring to Africa? You can believe it or not. Okay. Now you can get this. There's a chart that we have that gives you this detail. It's called Hermetic Expressions, Semitic Connections, and Japhetic, the Eyes of the Gentiles chart. Check it out. It's up there on our charts on www.peopleofcolor.com, no spaces. Please check it out. I would love for you to check it out. Okay, well, you can get the book and the charts. Could this mean that the Bible is letting us know that the land of Havilah, which is in Africa, was based on its gold resources? The name of the first river, which came out of the Garden of Eden, is Pison, and it encompasses, that means surrounds, the whole land of Havilah. There are two major viewpoints about the land of Havilah. See map 1.3. One is an African-American viewpoint held by Dr. Cain Hopfeld at Howard University, who edited the African Heritage Study Bible. Now, you should get that Bible. It's an excellent Bible. We have it up there on our website. Check it out, www.peopleofcolor.com. That book, it gives you pictures of what the Africans, of what the African Hebrews look like today and in the past. And so their dress code, their language, and all that. You'll have Bible commentary on the bottom of the pages. They're giving Bible commentaries, and that's what he does, Dr. Cain Hopfeld. And I told him that, yes, with my books, People of Color, the Bible, with the charts, and with the Bible, we will have a nice curriculum that we can train our people. And with my charts and with my geography and with my maps, we should be able to do a phenomenal job on our young people and older people too. So please get the material as you see fit. The other viewpoint was created by whites in America and Europe before and during the slave trade. The Eurocentric viewpoint was used to justify the slave trade and their use of Africans in America. So there's two viewpoints. One we call Havilah W, and the other one we call Havilah A. Now, the reason why we call one Havilah W, one Havilah A, we have one that is created or common, or the Europeans tried to justify. And so I call that the Western viewpoint. Okay? Then the other one is Havilah A. I call it the African American viewpoint by Dr. Cain Hopfeld. As a challenge to the white boys, the slave masters, who's trying to indoctrinate us and have done a good job. Okay, let's keep reading. Today, the river called Pison is not referenced on maps geographically. Did you know that? They don't show you that. And they'll tell you, oh, we don't know nothing about it. Yeah, you don't know nothing. You got that right. You ain't know nothing about this book because it ain't your book. Okay. So, if we can find the land of Havilah, which is surrounded by the Pison River, then we might find the approximate location of the first river, which flowed through the Garden of Eden. The question is, how do we identify the land of heaven? When we study the people of the Bible, we can tell who the people of the land are by simply knowing the names of the land and their ancestors' names. Remember, we talked about land of Cush, everything south of Africa, black people. So that means that he's the descendants of Cush, the land of Canaan, the promised land. That is where the descendants of Canaan. Canaan, not Cain before the flood. Canaan. Then we want to find out other lands, the land of Ham. Then we saw the descendants of Ham, but we got to know who the descendants are. So the lineages in the Bible are for a reason. I know for many, I think, man, why do they keep going over all these lineages? Man, what do I need all these lineages for? Why do they keep going over all these lineages? Oh, man, they're trying to give you some identification so you can know who these people are versus the European monopoly that they have. I was reading something. That was very interesting. I'm always reading something. Yeah, I was always showing me something. It's always giving me something that I need to study more. Letting me know, brother, amen. You even got it together, bro. You still out here still. And that's why this is called In Search of Truth. And the teacher is still learning truth. Still searching and finding truth in spectacular ways. So we had talked before about the lost books, and the books ain't lost. The lost books of the Bible, they're lost. The Apocrypha, whatever you want to call them things, okay, pseudepigrapha. So I'm reading out of the Apocalypse of Elijah. This is what it says. Here, this is chapter number 1, verse 13. Here, O wise man of the land, concerning the deceivers who will multiply in the last days. Aha, we got some deceivers multiplying in the last days. So that they will set up for themselves doctrines. Have you heard of doctrines? Dogma? Yeah, that's the churches. Yeah, there you go. Which do not belong to Elohim. So these doctrines don't belong to Elohim. Setting aside the law of Elohim. Do you know anybody that says this? Keep telling you that the law is nailed to the cross. There it is, right there. The Bible just told you. Setting aside the law of Elohim. Those who have made their belly their God. Now that's interesting. And that's why you have most of the pastors and people in the church are just overweight. Okay? It's because their God is their belly. That's what the Bible says. I mean, hey, I ain't making up all this stuff. Come on now. Saying the fast does not exist, nor did God create it. Now we know Elohim created the fast, and they're saying, no, he did not. Now, what happens when you go away from that? This is what happened. Making themselves strangers to the covenant of Elohim. So the covenant, if you're a stranger to the covenant, Yahweh says you eat the clean or the unclean animals. If you eat those, if you violate them, then you're going to get sick. High blood pressure, diabetes, high cholesterol, you name it. And you got it. Articular sclerosis. Okay? So then you become a stranger to the covenant and robbing themselves of the glorious promises. The people want to say, I'm not cursed, and I believe in Jesus, and all the rest of that stuff, but at the same time, following doctrines that have nothing to do with Yahweh, which go away with the law and become gluttons. And then they rob themselves of the precious promises, of the glorious promises, of health, of strength, of ability to think and think clearly, and to be a blessing. So, that's your choice. Notice what it says. Now, these are not even correctly established in a firm faith. Therefore, don't let those people lead you astray. That sounds like Matthew 24. But there shall be many that shall come in my name. That's Jesus saying that Jesus is the Christ and shall deceive me. That's what he told his disciples. There we go. We read it again. So anyway, I just thought that was interesting. And that was a perfect place to put it. Okay, now, Let's get back to what we were reading here. Okay. We mentioned that if you knew the name of the lands of the ancient people, that's all you need to know. Psalms 49 verse 11 says, their inward thought is that their houses shall continue forever. Living 900 years, I guess they did think they would live forever. And their dwelling places to all generations. They called their lands after their own names. So people in the Old Testament, people in the New Testament, people of old, people even today, they named the lands after themselves. So in the land of Cush, they were called the Cushites. In the land of Canaan, they were called the Canaanites. Land of Egypt, they called Egypt the Egyptians. Okay, it's not hard. Not hard at all. Now, what about today? Do we do the same thing? Yes, we do the same thing. We have a place here in America that's called Maryland. In essence, it's Mary's land, Queen Mary. Yeah. Virginia, Queen Victoria. Really? You got these Europeans coming over here naming everything after themselves. Washington, D.C. After who? George Washington. Pennsylvania, after William Penn. Mm-hmm. That's right. And Germans, Frederick and Hagerstown is named after German. You have even Germantown. Okay, so you have all of these different things. Lord Baltimore, even Baltimore's named after somebody. Okay, so these things are not just things that happened then, these things are still happening to this day. So let us get the picture and let us get it right. All right. Okay. Whether, now, how do you determine if a person is black or not? How do you determine who is white? How do you determine in biblical texts who is Arab? How do you, the Bible tells you that. You didn't know the Bible tell you everything. You know that? It don't play. Okay. But after reading Psalms 49, verse 11, and it says, whether they were black or not depends on the name of the people and the name of the land they dwelt. I'm moving slowly, but that's some deep stuff you might get lost. So depending on the land, so if this land is the land of Ham, then you know who's Ham. Okay, so it depends on, okay, whether they're black or not, on the name of the people, if the name is Egyptian, okay, and the name of the land they dwelt, and they dwelt in Egypt. Okay? If they're Canaanites and they dwelt in the land of Canaan, then they are the descendants of Ham, who everyone, no one just debates, are Africans. But clearly, the Hamites. But I believe all of them were. Noah, Adam, all of them, including Shem, Japheth, and Ham, all of them were all Africans. Because they were all Africans, they had to be Africans from the beginning. So, just in the garbage about that Noah had three sons and he was albino and he had three sons. He had a white man, a black man, and a Chinese man. That's all nonsense. That's all more white supremacy trying to eliminate what is obvious in the Bible. That's why I said, but if you don't understand the geography, if you don't understand where this was happening, who the people were, and the lands named after, you will never understand this aspect, but we are going into great detail so that you might be able to dwell and understand who is who in the Bible. Okay, so I'll read that part again. Whether they were black or not depends on what? The name of the people, repeat after me, and the name of the land they dwelt in, or the people dwelt in. The African American viewpoint is that the land of Havilah is next to Ethiopia, since Havilah is the son of Cush. This might make the Pison River what we call today the Blue Nile. So that if you go over that region in your book and trying to find, that's what you'll find over there. So it could be that it was the Blue Nile. Or you could be that it's one of those other ones that I mentioned to you, the White Nile, the Victoria Nile, the Albert Nile, all of those different other ones that come up in there, the Mountain Nile, all of those leading into that. Okay? And there's some even lower. Though it could be any of them in the African Great Lake region. Okay. Okay. This might make the Pison River what we call today the Blue Nile, or any of the Nile River tributaries, as I mentioned to you earlier. We label it Havila A for the African American viewpoint. The traditional Eurocentric viewpoint does not allow for the land of Havila to be in the heart of Africa. We label it Havila W for the white European Eurocentric viewpoint. To understand more in this area, see People of Color Beginners Book Series and the videos. Now, in the Beginners Book Series, we break it down. And it's only $10 for three little books. We break it down, the beginner series. And in there, we break it down and break on a little more detail and give you a little more graphics so that you might be able to really understand of how that happened. The land of Havila W is northeast of Arabia on the Persian Gulf. See map 1.3. Arabia was framed in antiquity for its gold. That's a quote, another quote. The descendants of Rama living in the Southeast Arabia and the descendants of Havila were the sons of Cush. So we have Rama over that area, we have Havila over that area. They're both descendants of Cush. See figure 1.2. Havila was one of the sons of Cush. Read in Genesis chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. See figure 1.2. The people simply named the land after their own name and their children's name so that future generations would know who originally possessed the land. Psalms 49, verse 11. Since Cush was renamed Ethiopia in many Bibles, the land of Havila was founded by an Ethiopian under the Ethiopian Empire, or by a Nubian under the Nubian Empire. Same names, just people use different names for the same people. We will refer again to this in chapter 3. Havila, Genesis chapter 2, verse 12, is the first land mentioned in Scripture, excluding Egypt. And Ethiopia is the second land mentioned in Scripture. Genesis chapter 2, verse 13. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 5. Place Havila near Egypt. Sometimes we forget that Egypt is on the African continent. See, today people call Egypt, everything north of Egypt, white Africa. And everything south of the Third Cataract, they call that Black Africa. That is interesting to know that that's what they do. Okay, we've covered the first river in detail. We went over generally about the second river. And we're going to go into the second river in more detail. Okay, let's do that before we get to the other one. Okay, in the book, so we can't finish that section. That section is much longer. It has a whole bunch of maps that you need to look at. But like I said, even if you're interested in just getting the maps, you can email us and let us know that you're just interested in getting the maps, and we can try to see how we can work those out for you. Like I said, they're in the children's book or the beginner's book. Lots of all of this information. Okay. So, the second river called Gihon surrounds the whole land of Ethiopia, which is in Africa. I can do two things. I can go on or I can stop. I think I'm going to stop here because I introduced a lot of different things, lots of maps, lots of thoughts, lots of things just about the first river and about all the four rivers and how they are civilizations that Yahweh is trying to reveal to us. And they're all African, Nubian, Kushite civilizations. Who was his first people? As we mentioned before, the first people that Adam and Eve, the first people were the Nubian, Kushite, Ethiopians. And those are the people that he used. And so from 4000 BC up until around 2000 BC, that was the only one following Yahweh. Then Abraham picked up after that, and Abraham until around 0 BC, they followed Yahweh. Yahweh had used them. But the people that were in Africa had passed on their civilization and stuff into the Europeans and into the, not to the Europeans yet, but that wasn't around, into the Hebrews. And the Hebrews, that's why they're called African Hebrews, because we're going to study later on that he had 12 sons, and his 12 sons all married Africans. So if your mama is African and your father is Hebrew, then what are you? African Hebrew. So we'll see that as we go through time, that lineage and that linkage. But at this time, I think it'll be a good time to help you go back and concentrate on what you have learned. So we pray that Yahweh will bless you and keep you. May his wonderful grace pour upon you, and may he give you peace so that you might be able to understand his word.